Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. We are in this series, Spiritual Warfare Series. This is part 12, believe it or not. 12 over hour long pack. Spiritual warfare, preaching and teaching, guys. I pray that you are clinging to this. And if this is the first time you're listening to this, I strongly encourage you to go back and listen to part one and work your way up to this one. There's just so much that can be said about spiritual warfare within the context of the scripture. And we're going to be in Ephesians 6:14, and we were in 14. It has those two pieces of armor there. You have your loins girded with truth, which is the belt of truth, right? How we would kind of put it in our language today. And the breastplate of righteousness. And that's the breastplate of righteousness is what we're going to really go into in this portion for this week. But last week we spoke on truth, and the week after that, and I think the week after that, so I believe there was three sermons on truth, because it's very important for us to understand truth, absolute truth, right? The absolute truth is this. If you write anything down, right, you know, from, if you don't want to go listen to the 3 hours or whatever, write this down. Do your own research. Do your own Bible study. Absolute truth is this. Jesus Christ is the absolute truth. The reason I'm saying this is because today's movement, this New Age Christianity, this progressive Christianity that you've heard me talk about over and over, and it, which is sweeping the church. The more I research into the Asbury revival, I'm still looking at that. It's looking like this is progressive Christianity, but I'm still doing more research into it. I don't know, but and things will unfold in time. It's hard to look at something if you're not there. And peace. So I'm always cautious in trying to do research as much as I can, and on it where I can, and ciphering the many thoughts on it and the many opinions on it. But progressive Christianity, this is a real thing. It's a very what I believe personally, and that name will probably change. This mindset will be part of the one world religion. Of course, if you follow this ministry, you know I'm post-trib, so there should be no shock on that. There should be no... time will tell, in a sense of, if I'm wrong, on that. But I'm going to tell you that praying over it and studying over it for years and years now is just... working on eventually doing a Revelation series. But man, this what I've been working on is massive. So it could possibly go into, if I start this whole thing, it would take probably 3 to 4 years to complete it. It's pretty intense, all the notes and stuff. But on it, and I try, how I kind of look at things is I try to look at all the angles and scripture, and when you're doing that kind of research, it's intense. even the guys in the pre-trib don't even try to do that kind of work on it. The ones I've read in their books and stuff, they don't even try to dive into the post-trib at all. They just narrow-minded on their one thought. And, you know, and looking at the pre-trib and the mid-trib, they're appealing. I mean, the pre-trib's a very appealing concept. And I wish, through my studying, I wish it was true, because it really sounds, if we could be just raptured today from this world, from this mess of this world, wow. That'd be awesome. But this study's in. But if you do have questions, I have people that email me. I have people that message me on certain things, and I can, I go through scriptures on certain things and on those matters. I just don't know about releasing this Revelation series yet. I'm still praying on, still researching on things, but it may even take five. By then, we could, Antichrist could already be in play after 5 years doing that thing. Truth. Absolute truth is Jesus Christ is the absolute truth. Meaning, He is the way, the only way. He is the only life. He is the only truth, way in life. He is the bridge to God the Father. There is no other bridge that you can cross except the bridge of Jesus Christ. And that bridge is the cross to be saved. And if anybody tell you otherwise, they're going against God's word, and they are operating in a spirit counter to God's holy word. So this week we're looking at the breastplate of righteousness. We're in Ephesians 6, 14. I'm just going to read that verse very briefly here. We'll pray and we'll start unpacking some of this. The breastplate of righteousness. So Ephesians 6:14 says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth," and we went into that, "and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come before you in your presence, breathing in, breathing out what may be going on in our life right now. You know the heaviness. That's why you can comfort us. There's nothing more heavier than what you had to experience on the cross. That's the most heaviest thing. That a person could experience. And not only that, you took on the sin of the world. You could feel that burden. And you had to die for our sins. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. God, I pray, Lord, that those that may be feeling the crushing effects of depression and anxiety, the devastation of that feeling. Maybe they are feeling alone, isolated. Maybe in their body something physically is not right. God, we pray over them right now. We lift them up in your name, the only name that can save us, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you know those that are feeling the isolation from their families. They may have children that have gone astray, and their hearts are torn. We pray for comfort in those. Lord, we pray, Lord, that a true movement of your renewal of a scripture is revived here in America. A love for your word, and not just an emotional, cheap thrill. For God's word comes first, and then emotion follows. But if our emotions don't match up with God's word, then our emotions are wrong. For God's word is the final authority. Not our opinion, not how we feel, but what does God say through his word. God, I pray, Lord, as we go into this, you just guide me, you direct me. You give me the words to say to whatever you need me to say to whoever that may be listening to this. Now or in the future. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name. Amen. Now, I've preached on this passage, at least I try to preach on spiritual warfare throughout the year, off and on. I try to do a series, preaching and teaching series. This has been probably my longest so far on this. The Holy Spirit just kind of poured through me on writing these and this series, and I'm still working on it. So we'll end up probably ending up with about 20 altogether. So it's going to be 20. Probably about 20. The Lord gives me more messages. Maybe more, but spiritual warfare. And if you've listened to me in the past, this website's been live for probably about 3 years now. Maybe three, maybe two. I don't know. You've heard me preach on the breastplate of righteousness. But here's Paul. He is in prison. He's writing this letter. And within this letter, he knew those that would be reading it could relate to the Roman society. They could relate to the Roman soldiers and their attire and their weapons. So the breastplate here would have been something most would have been familiar with during that time. For us today, we don't live back in those days, but we, through the Hollywood and through the Gladiator movies, right? Most of us probably seen those. Some of them are pretty graphic, and I don't recommend a lot of them, but especially to children. But the internet is, you can basically Google or whatever prefer platform of internet search that you prefer. You could look up a Roman soldier's attire and weapons, and you could type in the breastplate, right? And what you will find is most will agree that these breastplates worn by the Roman soldiers, they were usually bronze. Now, bronze is a very strong material. Even some would say that it is stronger than steel, and that it is stronger than iron. But this breastplate was made of bronze, a plate of protection, right? It would cover the neck and go down to the thighs. And as important as that belt that was on, that was first put on, and so is the breastplate that is put on too. It works together. And of course, all of these pieces work together. A Roman soldier would be, it would have been crazy for him to go out into the battlefield without his belt and without this breastplate that he would put on, this bronze breastplate, firm and secure, going to war, because if it was not secure, it would be very devastating. And as physical war, right? Going to battle physically, spiritual war. And that's what Paul is doing here. He's looking at, you see the Roman soldiers, right? You see what they're putting on. And they're, and these are for the war purposes, for their protection. And I'm here to tell you, this, as a physical war exists, a spiritual war, Paul's getting it, exists. Every time you walk out those doors, brothers and sisters, there is a war raging. There are battles every day. The enemy is coming at you. It is very important to get your mind right. From your work, to your school, to just going to the grocery store, gas station, even going to church. We are to prepare ourselves for war. The spiritual war and these battles. 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul tells Timothy here, and of course this applies to us today. He says in verse 18, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou be by them mightest war a good warfare." So all the pieces of armor are important, and the breastplate of righteousness, or the breastplate here, is important, and Paul is bridging that physical war with spiritual war by adding this word righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. He's moving it from the physical war, physical battle, to a spiritual perspective, a spiritual outlook here. So righteousness. What is righteousness? Isaiah 64:6 says here, it says, "But we are all as unclean things." You know, Isaiah wasn't very popular. I really cling to these prophets a lot of times. And they're reading and studying through them. They were not very popular. We need more men like that, that will get out there and they will tell it for how it is. But he says, "But we are all as unclean things," apply to America easily, "and all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as leaves. Our iniquity, like the wind, have taken us away." Our righteousness, our filthy rags. Literally, that means dirty tampons. Stinky, bloody tampons. That is our righteousness to a righteous and holy God. We need to remember the righteousness that we have is in Jesus. It is not in ours. We need to get over ourselves and recognize our righteousness, our filthy rags, to a holy and righteous God. It's not about us, guys. but it's about Jesus and how He can use us for His will, regardless of what that may look like. Isaiah also says in Isaiah 6:5 says, and then say, I, woe is me. Isaiah, he started looking around, and he started looking, and he said, only looking at the world around, and he said, woe is me, for I am undone. I can get that way. I can become undone. Because why? Just like Isaiah here said, because I am a man of unclean lips. I recognize my sinful nature, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King. And the Lord of hosts, as a spiritual warfare term for our God, the Lord of hosts. Do we become undone when we're around people with unclean lips? Are we okay with our filth coming from their mouth, indulging in their conversation? Oh, how sin is so prevalent, and how the today New Age Christianity, the ones that profess to know Jesus, love their sin more. They rather hang out with filth, endorse filth, surround their heart with filth, and think they're okay. Oh, you should be undone to be around them. It should be repulsive. Oh, how we have compromised. Oh, how we have soft-pedaled the gospel today. And for what we have now is something totally different than what God's word has. Peter fell down and said, and when Jesus looked at him, he said, I am a sinful man. Do you recognize our sinful nature? Do you recognize how we peer to a holy and righteous God? But thank God for His Son, Jesus Christ. All that perfect love to give His life for this world. Isaiah says also in 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He hath clothed me with what? The garments of salvation. He has covered me with what? The robe of righteousness. Tears, that robe of righteousness that is that borrowed robe that we get through Jesus Christ. As a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, as a bride ordained herself with her jewels. Psalms 139 says, let thy priest be clothed with righteousness. Let thy saints shout for joy. Philippians 3:9 says, and to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through what? Faith of Christ. The righteous which is of God by faith. To have them garments of salvation on us. To be covered in His robe of righteousness. Oh, how precious is to have His robe. Oh, I pray that you truly have given your life to Jesus Christ. I pray that you look and you examine, you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I mean, you need to have that crucified perspective of your life to a holy and righteous God. We come to Christ. We humble our hearts for what He has done. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He had made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin." Jesus Christ had no sin. Never let nobody tell you that Jesus Christ sinned. Write that down, because that's a perversion of the gospel that is being preached today. But He said that He might be made the righteousness of God in Him. This term righteousness is over and over. This is showing and pointing to God who is full of righteousness. And that a God that was so full of righteousness, and not just that, the mercy and the grace that He has given to each and every one of us, that He wants us to come to Him and give your life to Him for that grace, right? For by grace you are saved. Thank God for that grace. Grace simply is unmerited favor. It's simply God giving us things that we do not deserve. And that mercy is simply Him sparing us for the things we do deserve. We deserve hell. Our sin nailed Jesus to the cross. Don't ever think that you are innocent of the blood of Jesus. He died for your sins. We can get very self-righteous and say, "Oh, if I was there, I wouldn't do it." If you were there, you would have done it. You need to check yourself. If I was there, I'd have been yelling, "Crucify Him too." "Oh, you shouldn't say that. I'm not self-righteous, guys." And you shouldn't be if you were there. Just look at your life. Look how you live your life on a daily basis. I don't know you, but if you're at work or whatever, and you're blending in with a crowd, you're doing whatever, you're conforming to it, and somehow you are giving an opportunity to witness to someone that may cost you your job, and you back away from that, you're denying Jesus, and you would have been the same. That's just as denying Him when they were when Pilate was up there and said, "Who shall release, Barabbas or Jesus?" They yell for this murderer to be released and Jesus to be crucified. You crucify Jesus afresh by your denial. Shame on you. Oh, I don't want to hear this. I want to hear a happy, happy message of joy and peace and comfort. I don't want to be convicted in my sins. I'm telling you, this is what's wrong with this world today. This is wrong with American church today. They don't want to be convicted of their sin. And when they get a preacher up there that is on fire for God and convicting them of their sin, not just that, I'm convicting myself of my sin daily. And then and the Holy Spirit just takes over. The Holy Spirit just gets going, and you're giving that conviction what God has given you to share to them, and they don't want to hear it, and they reject it. "Oh, we don't like what you hear. We don't like what we hear. We will find us somebody else. You will find you somebody else. I promise you." There's more that will tell you comfortable lies than tell you uncomfortable truths. I will never be one of those. If I preach on this website to my hair is gray, or I'm in a prison cell or on the side of a road homeless just with my Bible, I will still preach God's word. Those that spit on me, call me all kind of names, what God wills, I accept. The work on Calvary He did it for us. Is Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. No, what he has done, right? According to his mercy here, he saved us. But don't stop there. What does it say in Titus 3:5? By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. This is the part that the new age salvation perversion that that America want, the churches want to preach, this regeneration. This regeneration means a renewal. You are now new in Christ. You are no longer looking for a purpose. Jesus Christ is your purpose. Now it's about your ministry, right? What can God use me? He can use you at work. But if you're denying Jesus at work and not using as a platform, then you're fooling yourself. You thinking Jesus is using you there. If you're compromising who you are in Christ, then Jesus is not using you. Satan's using you. Because if you're washed of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, you will be looking for opportunities. And I trust me, they're there. Now, you may not like it, and it may cost you your job. No. God's sovereign. He'll provide for you. And you may hear this and you reject it. Or you may say, I'm too harsh. And we're going to get on a little bit of harshness. We're going to get on that a little bit here. But I pray that you truly have accepted Christ into your life. That means that you truly have opened your heart to open your heart, that you believe, that you, as we would say, you place your trust, you have that faith in his birth, his death, his that crucifixion and that resurrection in you. So, and you have recognized your sinful nature. And you have repented of your sins. And that you understand that you have counted the cost, right? And there's going to be a cost to following Jesus. Salvation is a free gift. Ephesians 2, right? Ephesians 2, 8, 9, 10. For by grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves, right? It is a gift of God, not by works, lest we should boast. And then 10 goes into the workmanship, the ministry that God has for you. God has a ministry for each and every one, but salvation is a gift. But you, up on this gift, let me just put it this way, guys. If I bought you your favorite vehicle ever, my purple, and this is my flesh speaking, I don't ever think I'll ever get one of these. I am human. I have a favorite truck I would love to have one day. If not, whatever. I mean, that don't control me. But a Toyota Tundra, a extended cab, V8, preferably a camouflage color, full leather interior, all bells and always say all bells and whistles, right? Are probably one of my ideal muscle cars out there is a Mustang Ford, 1968, 1967, probably around there. A muscle car, we'll have one of those. But if, say if somebody came to my house and they brought that truck and that car, and they knock on my door and I open it up and they say, hey, you know, I heard your podcast and I just felt led by God to... Now I'm starting to sound like one of those prosperity gospel preachers, right? I'm playing. But they threw the keys to me and they say, hey, you know, I just bought you that truck. So, you know, everything's paid for and you don't have no notes and the insurance of it. I don't even worry about the insurance. I'm going to add you on my policy so you're fine. And they throw the keys to me. I'm like, you know, oh, wow, awesome. And I shut the door and I sit back on the couch and I cut the TV on. No! Most of us would take that free gift and take it for a drive. Same thing with, and I know it's not probably the best illustration, but the same thing. God has given us this gift, and because he's given this gift as excitement, we want to take it for a ride. We want to go out there and do it. And that's where our works come in at. No, the our works, are, the gift of salvation is free. But because it's free and the joy of it, we want to go out there and do things for Jesus. We want to be on fire for God. Where is your fire at? How many people have you witnessed to this week about Jesus Christ? How many people have you shared the message of salvation to? How many? Only you can answer that. Amen. Too convicting. Probably is. When we look at this breastplate of righteousness, I want to draw your attention to something else about it. When you're thinking of these soldiers, right? And they're putting this breastplate on, I kind of already talked about this a little bit, is what was the purpose of this piece of armor? What was it protecting? Vital organs. And what is one of those key vital organs located in your chest? Your heart. Right? The breastplate is a heart protector. If these, you know, in the Roman soldiers, there were swords. You know, they had swords. And we'll get into the type of swords they used. But enemy would try to jab that sword into their chest area. And that bronze protection would allow the sword to be reflected. If arrows were flying in the air and they would try to hit the heart with that bronze protection there, they would be reflected. If the enemy walked in the battle without that protection and they're having a sword interaction with the enemy and they don't have it, well, there ain't no protection. That enemy can drive that sword or that knife or the arrows straight into the heart, and guess what? You penetrate the heart, it's gone. It's over with. Lights out. You'll go to eternity one way or the other. You'll see God, and you go to, you know, as we would say, you go to your holding cell. Is it? Well, I'll say holding cell, but I'm saying you go to heaven. We say you go to heaven, you go to hell. One's joy, one's torment. And guess what? Our enemies, our spiritual enemy, right? Satan, demons. They want to drive that sword. They want to drive that knife. They want to drive them arrows. They even want to drive that spear. And where are they trying to drive? They're trying to drive that sin into your heart. And guess what? If you let it influence your heart, your body will follow, right? Sin. And I preached on that, I think last week, a whole sermon on sin. It's devastating. And one, the prevalent sin of America is our treasures, right? Matthew 6:19-21 says, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, where the thieves do not break through nor steal." And here in 21 it says, "For where your treasure is, there will what? Your heart will be also." This right here is part of the Sermon on the Mount. It's the most beautiful sermon ever preached. If you've never read through the Sermon on the Mount, I encourage you. Starts at 5 and goes to 7. But I want to tell you, the sermon's intense. Jesus Christ, and this is what I'm getting. Jesus Christ was intense. What I was getting at. Don't think Jesus was not intense. We got this warm and fuzzy Jesus that we have made up in our image that does not match the Jesus Christ in the Bible. Start in Matthew 5 and read to Matthew 7 and tell me, does this world have the same Jesus? America. Does America have the same Jesus as of the Bible? Because he's intense. So intense that he had 12 close disciples, right? Guess only one that we can clearly say that was there at his crucifixion. Only one. That was 12 close. He had more. But John 6:6 tells us, after it really got rough, they kind of left. So he was left with his original 12. We know Judas is scared. He betrayed Jesus and he killed himself. And so there was 11. And we got real all of them left. And there was only one left. The other ones abandoned him. When he got real, when he got time to take action, is he to say, "Oh, I will not abandon you"? He could be like Peter, say, "You know, I will not do that." And of course, Jesus rebuked him. When it gets real, they left him. Only one. Jesus Christ, his teaching's intense. And he's looking at my life. He's looking at your life, right? So you want to look at your life and think about it. I encourage you to. What is the most important thing that drives your life? Jonathan Ritter does not know your life. So quit saying, "Don't judge me." I'm not. I'm just giving you scripture. If you're convicted and you're feeling that way, praise God. Conviction shows you that you're a child of God. But what is the most important thing that drives you in your life? What really gets you going? Is it that nice raise at work? So you can have that nice vacation. Maybe you can purchase that nice vehicle or home. Maybe you can get all the things that go along with that. Maybe it's your career. Put the long hours into work. Neglect your Bible reading and studying of God's word. being part of a local church and doing ministry with a church, growing in a family in your church. Oh, I don't want to go to church. I don't got time for that. We need to be connected to a local body of believers, guys, physically. Don't think to say not is, don't let Satan wrap that lie around your mind. Them long hours at work, neglecting your studying, your praying, your fellowship. I want to tell you, if today was your last day on earth, does any of these things matter? Right? Having that nice, comfortable raise at work that you can afford, a nice vacation, that nice vehicle, that nice car, whatever you can think of, maybe a nice boat, maybe there's something that a motorcycle, a four-wheeler, I don't know. You think you're taking all that stuff with you when you die? Will all these things matter? No. All that stuff will be left for whoever will take your place on this earth. Because your time to make an impact for Jesus Christ has passed. And I pray that you are a child of God, because if you're not, then you will experience everlasting torment in the pit of hell. Hell doesn't exist, they say. Oh, bite onto that apple or fruit. You will be disappointed. You will be disappointed. You will cry out as the rich man did in hell. With Lazarus, praying for just a drop of water. So much agony. Oh, that's just a figure of speech. No, hell does exist. If you don't believe it, and you don't want to repent of your sin, and you want to live a life contrary to God's word, you will go there. But if you choose to recognize that you are a sinner that needs to be saved, you recognize the beautiful price that was paid for our salvation, and that transforms your heart and creates a fire burning in your loins to go out there in anything we do, looking for them opportunities to tell those around you about Jesus. To live that crucified life. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lived in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 5:24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and the lusts. If you are a child of God, you will live a crucified life. Why? Because Christ lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And you have that faith and that trust and that determination to keep pressing on. You could care less about all the treasures that you gain on this earth, for they will fade away. Your main concern is to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. This ain't hard to figure out. Look around you. Is the things of this world More important to you are the things of Jesus Christ. How much time do you invest in work, right? Versus how much time you invest in your ministry. And we all have a ministry, guys. For our hearts. God wants our heart. Satan wants our heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What do you surround your heart with on a daily basis? What do you inundate yourself with on a daily basis? Because it will influence your heart. What are you watching on TV? What are you listening to on the radio? What are the CDs that you may listen to? What are you reading? What are you searching on the internet and watching on the internet? What you surround your life with is going to influence your heart. Satan has many more tools than he ever has. And a cell phone is one of those tools that I believe is probably probably the most prevalent tool that he can use today when it comes to technical devices. Because we all got one, and most of us got internet on those, and we can search anything that we want to search. We can search pornography. We can look at women. We can look at men. We can look at all kind of perversion. We can watch movies. We can listen to radio. I have a lot of Bible apps on my phone. I have a lot of theology apps on my phone. I use my phone. I don't look for filth on there. It can be used for good. But I believe a lot of people use it for a lot of sinful stuff. Oh, where's your heart, brother? Where's your heart, sister? For the issues of life comes from your heart. Seek life. Bath in the light. Let his presence flow through you like a waterfall. Let his words minister to you daily. Life will overflow with the opportunities all around you to be that light in the world. Your drive in your life should be like Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and here's that word again, and his righteousness, and all the things shall be added unto you. Once again, this is part of that Sermon on the Mount, guys. If you have never read the Sermon on the Mount, I encourage you to do that. This shows you that this Jesus that this world has crafted is not the same Jesus that we read about in the Bible. Most of them have not even picked up their Bibles and studied the Sermon on the Mount. But you can start in Matthew 5 and 7, and I encourage you to do a Bible study in that. After you're done and well, ask this question. If Jesus Christ would come back down here in a physical human form again. Not going to happen, I'm just saying. And I'm just trying to get you to think a little on scripture here. Not my opinion, but God's word, right? Thus says God. But how would Jesus Christ fare if he preached this Sermon on the Mount in your typical church today? Just a truth bomb. Let's look at it a little bit here. Looks like Matthew 5. And this is all showing God's righteousness, right? His righteousness. And he expects us to live a righteous and holy life through him. But here, Matthew 5. 11 through 16. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, and shall say all manner evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be seeing glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecute though the prophets were before you. Verse 13 says, ye are salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his flavor, wherefore shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, for it be cast out and trodden on the foot of men. What are you saying, Jesus? Saying you're not being the salt of the earth. You're no part of me. You'll be trodden on the foot of men. That don't sound very happy, Jesus. I don't like that. Verse 14 says, ye are the light of the world. See that is set on a hill cannot be hide. Neither do men light a candle and put it on a bushel or a bucket, basically, but on a candlestick. It is given light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's pretty intense. Matthew 5:28-30 says, but what saying to you, that whosoever look upon a woman to lust after her have committed adultery with her already in your heart. Whoa. If I look upon a woman? Come on, Jesus. I don't really like that. Well, he ain't going to like what he's about to tell them that don't like it. And if the right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members shall perish, that thy whole body shall be cast into hell. Oh. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. Cast it from thee. For the profit for thee that one of the members shall perish. Well, he continues that. He's going to talk about hell again. I don't like this preacher. I ain't going to have him at church. And not that thy whole body shall be cast into hell. Oh, yeah, we won't invite Jesus back. That's just too intense. Matthew 6, 22 through 24. I hope you kind of got my point here. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Therefore the light that is in thee be darkness. How great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one, despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. That's intense. Jesus was very intense. And we should model our lives after him. We should be seeking God with everything we got and putting on the breastplate of righteousness, that God will protect our hearts from Satan and his demons that want to drive that sword, that knife, that spear into our heart to affect it with sin. In closing, are you seeking God's righteousness in your life? Really, it pulls down to that. And I provide quite a few scriptures. You can go back and listen to this. You can write the scriptures down. You can pray over them. You can do your own study. I actually encourage that. If you do that, praise Jesus. Because there's power in that. Going back and just writing the scriptures down and doing your own Bible study. Because the Holy Spirit will move so fast on that, it will change your life. It will change your mindset. If you choose not to and you ignore it, then that's on you. It breaks my heart, but it's just what it is. But I pray that you're seeking God's righteousness in your life. You're putting this armor, or seeking to put this armor on daily. I pray that you are. This breastplate of righteousness is not our righteousness, right? Isaiah 64:6 says this, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all unrighteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. Our iniquity, like the wind, have taken us away. Filthy rags, that's our righteousness. But thank God, we don't have our righteousness, right? At the cross. Right? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That perfect Lamb of God. Died for you, died for me, died for this whole world. That grace and that mercy, right, extended to each and every one of us. And we, as we come to Christ, truly coming to Him, we have this borrowed robe of righteousness that Jesus Christ has given us, who are, that have truly placed our faith in Him. That are not okay with living for ourselves, but we're not okay living in our sin. We want to live away from our sin. And oh, I pray that you want to live away from your sin. And yeah, I preached, as I say last week, a message straight on sin. Go listen to that. I don't want you to be confused on what sin is. We need to be, more than ever, to be defined what sin is. Oh, we can say sin. What do you need to repent of? We need to start naming as it names in scriptures what sin is. Gives a whole list. Start going that list down and preach. Because Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was slaughtered for a wretched sinner like me, for a wretched sinner like you. And that grace and that mercy that Jesus exhibited on the cross should break our hearts every day. We should be undone. Our sin should never be okay in our life. Our sin should drive us to our knees like the nails that drove Jesus Christ, His hands and feet. Like the spear that pierced His side. Oh, our sin. Listen to me, brother. Listen to me, sister. I pray that you are. Our sin should drive us to our knees like the nails that penetrated Jesus Christ's hands and feet. And the spear that was driven in His side. That godly sorrow, right? That repentance. Leading to that confession. Leads us to that walk in that spirit to live that crucified life. Oh, my life is no longer mine. I give it to you, Lord. Whatever you want with it, take it. I don't care what it looks like. You take it. I don't care what my dreams are. You take it. My dreams line up with you. My purpose lines up with you. My primary purpose in life is now to serve you with everything I got. From the breath I wake up in the morning to the breath I do when I fall asleep. You have it all. Take all of it. Consume me, Holy Spirit. I want to be the light of the world. I do not want to compromise who I am, Christ. I don't want to blend into this darkness of this world. It repulses me, as Isaiah said. Or Ezekiel. Let me look back up here. I believe it was Ezekiel. My opinion don't matter. Your word matters. My heart beats for you. Galatians 2:20, right? And Galatians 5:24. Our heart's beating for Christ, right? That means that crucified life. Say, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but not I, but Christ live in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, that should make your heart beat fast. Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and the lusts. Amen. Our life should radiate this life, right? Our heart should beat every day. Does your heart beat every day for God? God knows your heart, right? He sees you right where you're at right now. He knows you're hearing this. I ain't listening to this guy again. If you made it to the end of this message, praise Jesus. It means you love Jesus. If you cut me off, then, well, you cut me off. That's fine. You don't love Jesus. That's fine. It's fine in the sense that you're going to go your own way. I can't do nothing with that. If you send me a prayer request, I'll pray for you. But I can only give you what God has given me. You accept and reject it. Breaks my heart, but it's just how it is. The treasures of this earth can have a strong hold on us. That's why Jesus includes that in the Sermon on the Mount, right? Matthew 6:19-21. And then shortly down there is Matthew 6:33. It's not coincident. It was hard then, it's hard now. Oh, Satan got a lot of people fooled out there when they don't think the treasure of this earth got them. But if you find yourself holding back where you're at, perfectly at work, because you're afraid that you may lose your job, I want to tell you, Christ comes first. This occupation or whatever that I have to do to pay the bills and stuff, it comes second. Christ will always come first. Period. And I truly mean that. Jesus should be the priority in our lives. And when he is, and you're operating in that capacity, God will provide. Because he's faithful. He is true. I pray that you are putting on the breastplate of righteousness every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come before you, thanking you for this opportunity, Lord, just get into your word. Thank you for guiding and directing this sermon. Lord, I pray, whoever's hearing this, they go back and just look at the scriptures. They don't have to take my word for it. I always provide plenty of scriptures. They can go through each of these scriptures and do their own Bible study. The Holy Spirit is so powerful. If they write down the scriptures and they're going into God's word, there will be a transformation in their hearts. I know that for a fact, because your word tells us that. Those that digitally seek you, they will find you. God, I pray as we just close this out, that we just, you know, those that are experiencing the heaviness of this life, and there's heaviness in this life, there's tragedy in this life. Family members can cut us like knives. Oh, figuratively. And the wounds, even though invisible, can take a long time to heal. God, we pray over those that are experiencing that. God, we pray over those that are experiencing the torment of depression, the torment of anxiety, the torment of loneliness. We lift them up to you. Lord, we pray over those that are physically feeling sick. We know you can heal. You're a God that can still heal. Lord, of course, we pray over their salvation too. We pray. We don't want to see nobody to burn in hell. The purpose and mindset of this stepping in my calling and ministry was, if one person is saved, is that one person that you wanted to hear this? That's the person that was worth it all. If one person is snatched from the enemy by what you have laid on my heart to preach. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to be you. Glory all goes to you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your Son. Lord, thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for the opportunity to be the hands and feet and to live this crucified life. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your day or night. If you need to reach out to me, you can reach out to me through this email and this website. Or you can, if you're on my Facebook, you can Facebook me or message me. If you have my private phone number, you could definitely text me. Working on getting, and just something on a side note, thinking about changing my website name and doing a few other things with it, but we'll see what happens. I'm pondering a few things on maybe posting videos later on it, but I don't know. I'm just kind of seeking God's direction, so keep me in y'all's prayers on that. All that stuff costs a little bit of money, and of course this website, I don't charge anything for it, so it all comes out of my pocket, but it's all for God's glory. If you can benefit from it and get some sound teaching and preaching, that's all that matters. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your day or night. Bye.